fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is the seventh day in the octave of Christmas. We continue to celebrate as a church the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas is about being in touch with both the first coming of Jesus and celebrating the incarnation, the gift of God's mercy and love in Jesus, and the profound awareness. We're meant to move through Advent, Christmas, and into this time of the year to enter the new year with a firm and clear understanding that Jesus is going to come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And we live between, as I've said many times in the program, the awareness that we're in the last hour, the final hour, between the two comings of Jesus, the last phase of human history. This is the Christian worldview and the Catholic understanding of time and history. And there's something new has happened in the coming of Jesus Christ. A new reality has entered human existence. The presence and the power of the Holy Spirit has begun the work of the new creation, establishing the kingdom of God, which is going to reach its fulfillment. Between then and now, there is a great battle that goes on still between the kingdoms. We're still fighting the battle against the enemy. And that's one of the things that we hear today in the first reading from 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. We've been listening to St. John, who wrote these letters, the author of the Gospels, who shares with us the reality of what Jesus has shown in the revelation that comes to us in Christ. So he said, "Children, it is the last hour." So that's what he means. This is the catechism teaches this. It comes directly from Scripture. We are in the last hour. It's his way of saying it's the final stage of human history and God's plan. Now, the last or the last chapter, whatever you want to say, however you want to describe it, is that time when the life of the Messiah, the Savior of the world, is being offered to human beings, a way out of the darkness and into the light, a way out of slavery to sin and bondage, a way into the new life in Christ that's being offered to us. So here's John. "Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that the Antichrist was coming, so now many Antichrists have appeared. Thus we know this is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of our number. If they had been, they would have remained with us. Their desertion shows that none of them was of our number. But you have the anointing that comes from the Holy Spirit, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you do, and because every lie is alien to the truth." So he takes up the reality of the Antichrist. It's one of the places, in the few places in the Scripture where this term Antichrist is used. And the church takes it up in the Catechism, paragraph 675, 676, 677. I'd like to just read those because it'll give some sense of what John is trying to communicate here. It reveals the biblical worldview, the church's picture and understanding of time and history and its meaning. "Before Christ's second coming, the church must pass through a final trial that shake the faith of many believers. The persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of iniquity in the form of a religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. The supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo-messianism by which man glorifies himself in place of God and of his Messiah come in the flesh." So this paragraph, 675, is describing the final conflict. Human history is moving toward, just prior to the return of the Lord, the rise of the Antichrist, a person satanically empowered, empowered by Satan, with extraordinary power, to lead the world away from God, the one last gasp of the kingdom of darkness, to seduce human beings away from the kingdom of God so they die for eternity, to enslave them. It's going to be the last gasp of the kingdom of this world. So it's described here in the paragraph as a final trial. The church must pass through this trial. It's inescapable. You know, some people think it's begun even in our time right now, because it's going to be preceded by the great apostasy, where huge numbers of believers are going to turn away from Christ and are going to follow the Antichrist. The persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth will unveil a mystery. The mystery of evil and the source of evil. And it's going to be revealed in a religious deception, offering man an apparent solution to their problems. What Satan's going to do, what he's talking about, what the Antichrist will do under his satanic power, is going to win the attention of the world. The understanding of it, there's different themes in the scripture talk about the world's going to be in great chaos, strife, conflict, and the Antichrist is going to rise and he's going to unite. He's going to bring together various forces using the powers of the enemy, and people are going to follow him. And he's going to say, if essentially, what's being talked about here in the paragraphs, if you follow me, I will bring you peace. I'll bring peace on earth. I will bring goodwill to men. I will settle all conflicts. There's always a temptation for human beings to make this world the kingdom, to make this world the final goal. And it's not the final goal. We know by revelation that this world is going to pass away. This world is coming under judgment because of its rebellion against God. But man is always trying, because he's in darkness, to find all of his ultimate solutions here in this world. Solutions to death, solutions to conflict and war and everything else, they're trying to find them here. And so the Antichrist, who's going to be the most powerful person, you know, the most powerful political ruler the world has ever seen, and he's going to seduce and he's going to bring about real change, it's going to help convince people that he's the one to follow. But all of that is going to come at a price. And the price is apostasy. What is that? The believers denying Christ. Denying Christ come in the flesh. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. Denying that Jesus Christ has come from the flesh. And as John is saying here, breaking from the fellowship, from the communion, from the church. People will say they'll become indifferent to God. Look what's happened throughout Europe. Pope John Paul II described it as a European apostasy. If we're not living in the time of the beginning of the great apostasy before the return of the Lord, we're certainly living in a time in quite a dry run, you know, dress rehearsal or whatever. I mean, this is the kind of thing. Catholicism in Europe has not completely collapsed, but it's close to it in many places. And it's indifference to God. In some places, underneath that indifference is a secret rancor and anger and rage at God. And what's the rage? The rage that's emerging now, and it's very much an Antichrist spirit, is I will not serve. It's the rage of the enemy. It's planted in the sin-sick human heart. We have the answer for our future. Our only hope is us. Our only hope is our intelligence, our money, our power, our technology. And wow, look at what we've done. Look at what we've accomplished. We can do it all now. We can solve every problem now. I was reading an article recently I just found chilling. And there's a lot of focus among the tech billionaires of our time on reversing the aging process. We're going to make eternity happen, right? And so Brin or Zuckerberg or Thiel or Larry Ellison, all these people spending huge amounts of money to create brain-computer interface. There's these life extension centers. I think Google has a life extension center. Larry Ellison, the founder of Oracle, spent $430 million on this whole issue. I think Larry Page has spent almost $750 million on this. And it's always cloaked in somehow it's a good, what we're trying to do. It's like how modern medicine helps us overcome various diseases. We're going to conquer death itself through our technology. And we don't want any limits on us. We can't limit our knowledge and our power and our influence, because we're going to save the human race. And what's driving them is the fear of death. I found it interesting. Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft, said this. He says, it seems pretty ego-centered. While we still have malaria and TB, for rich people to fund things so that they can live longer. How about that? I mean, honestly, I think part of it is just that it's that fight against death. I want to immortalize myself. I want to do whatever. I want to live forever. And some of these guys, I don't want the party to stop. I don't want to get off the throne. I'm on the throne. I'm a master of the universe. I don't want this to end. Are you kidding? And I'm going to do what no one else has ever done before. And all that silly religion stuff and all the claims of religion and all the faith perspective on things is so inhibiting. It inhibits us from liberating ourselves from all that bondage of external commandments and pressures that hold us back, that limit us from finally bursting forth and saving ourselves and bringing peace on earth and living forever. All of that. Well, guess what? There's spiritual power at work there. The kingdom of darkness. You cannot live in this world. Money will not save. Human intelligence will ultimately not save us. Human intelligence is a wonderful thing, a beautiful thing, but human intelligence submitted to the will of God. Human intelligence enlightened by revelation, by the reality of God. You cannot deny God and live. If you deny God and live as if God does not exist, you will be in one kingdom or another. Like Bob Dylan said years ago, you got to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you are going to serve somebody. There is no neutral ground. There's no third way. You're going to be serving the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. The catechism goes on. The supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, the pseudo-messianism by which man glorifies himself in the place of God and of his Messiah come in the flesh. The devil will give us everything. As long as we're willing to reject God and push God to the margins, to push Jesus Christ and his word and his salvation, his claim over his creation, to push it away. Because the devil's willing to give us everything if he can have our souls for eternity. He'll give us all the world can give if he can enslave us and in his rage against God, devour and enslave the image of God in the world. That's what's going on, friends. It is going on, and it cannot be denied. Ego is driving a lot of this. Fear, what did I say? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. The devil enslaves the human race through the fear of death. Why are these guys spending billions and billions of dollars on all this stuff? Because they're afraid to die. That's why. Paragraph 676, the Antichrist deception already begins to take shape in the world every time the claim is made to realize within history that messianic hopes, which can only be realized beyond history through the eschatological judgment. It can only be realized through the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That eschatology means the end times, right? It's coming. His final judgment is when heaven on earth is going to be realized. He's going to bring a new heaven and a new earth, not through me, not through Sergey Brin, not through Google, not through whatever. It's going to come from the Son of God. And every knee will bend on that day and confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's the only Savior of the world. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.